Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. And we are going to be talking about kingdom living, your spiritual inheritance, and, you know, are you living that kingdom life, and exactly what does that mean? I do want to send out a shout-out to my co-host, Tabitha Jones, and her daughter. We lift them up in prayer that she be well. But we're talking about, like I said, kingdom inheritance, living in the kingdom of God. And are you flowing in your inheritance as a child of God, as a son or daughter of God? We'll start off with a little scripture, and it comes from Luke 17:20-21. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Take a moment to think about that while I play Fred Hammond. It sounds like the kingdom of God, we're looking up to heaven and skies, and not saying that it's not there, but it is in you. So think on that while we play Fred Hammond's Bread of Heaven.
Bread of life, sit down to glory. Anything you earn on earth, a holy king, a constant child. You are the living word, baby. Come on.
Sit down to glory.
Come on, Houston, you get that one time for the prayer. Sit down for the rest. Anything. Come on, somebody say
it. Anything to
Yeah.
Can I get this page off? Oh, no matter where you find yourself, fire.
And that was Fred Hammond and Bread of Heaven. We're going to be talking about the kingdom of God, and I have an awesome guest. I think she is a phenomenal woman. I would be prejudiced, but I'm not going to tell you why. But anyway, this is Tanisha Reynolds, and she's an awesome woman of God. She is a midwife, and I call her a spiritual midwife because she can help us in breaking down the word. Let's talk about kingdom living and kingdom principles. Welcome, Tanisha.
Well, thank you so much for having me today and to having me here to discuss this, to discuss the kingdom and this concept of kingdom living and what it means to be a king, a citizen of the kingdom. Like the scripture that you read coming on, and or the, what you left us with saying, that the kingdom is inside of us. And from the beginning, like a common theme of the New Testament, well, the primary theme of the New Testament is the kingdom. You have John the Baptist starting things off saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then Jesus, some of his, I mean, his first teaching, him going into, him also saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, and some translations say, is at hand. And repentance is the word that stands out there as it relates to the kingdom being in you. That repentance word means that there needs to be a change. There needs to be an internal change, a personal, a change in personal behavior to manifest the kingdom, a change in government, in civil government, a change in our religious teaching to bring about the kingdom.
And you know what? With the kingdom of God, it also involves an opening up of your mind and acceptance and faith that when you come to God, you are a part of the kingdom. And a lot of us see the kingdom, but as soon as you come to God and you accept Jesus as your Savior, he is the key to the kingdom. He comes inside of you, opening up a whole other realm that you live in. So there has to be some spiritual eyes there that have to grasp that you are a person on this dimension, but you're a part of a kingdom inside this natural kingdom. What do you think about that?
I think about what is coming to mind is when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and I was and I'm trying to find a scripture in John where I was thinking, and he was asking him how, you know, you enter the kingdom, and Jesus is saying, no man enters the kingdom except he be born again. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit birth spirit. So that is understanding that you have to be born again and or be born of the spirit
right
to enter the kingdom.
So your first
access is Jesus to the kingdom. You know, and I know it's people of all faiths, but my radio program, and that's what I believe. And, you know, that is the access, that is the key, but you have to be have that spiritual birth to be a citizen of the kingdom.
True. And I think, and just number one, that is a change in mindset, you know.
It is.
Is to say that I am a, you know, you have to think about it. What does it mean to be a citizen? And you can think of it in its earthly context, you know, as a citizen of the U.S., I have certain rights, you know, and as such, as a citizen of the kingdom, I have certain rights. I have certain privileges.
I have access. I have certain things. So, you know, just getting into that mindset is that when you become a child of the King, which is our Heavenly Father, you have access, rights, and you have an inheritance to certain things.
And then I'm thinking here of this scripture here, Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Talking about a benefit. There seems to be association with divine healing being a benefit of being a citizen of the kingdom. So
to live in good health is a benefit of being a kingdom of God. In the kingdom, you know, you're a healthy being. His subjects are healthy beings. They have access to mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness and wholeness. That's part of the benefit of being a subject in the kingdom. What other things that you can come to your mind as a benefit of the kingdom?
I think the other things that come to my mind, I'm thinking of the fruits of the Spirit. There's a scripture also in Romans that's talking about certain things are associated with kingdom living, and I'll come back to this, but righteousness, peace, joy, this self-discipline, like, so these fruits of the Spirit are benefit our kingdom citizenship.
You know, and with that, to me, some of the benefits also of being in the kingdom, if you are his child, is you develop a sense of discernment and wisdom. That's a benefit, because when you develop that sense of discernment and wisdom, you make the wise choices to live a life that is fruitful. So those are some of the benefits of being a child of the kingdom. You know, and when you think about it, and you know, some of this we reference, because Miles Monroe has an awesome teaching on kingdom living, but when you look at different, we in the United States are a democracy, but let's look at, like, you know, England, they kind of are governed by the kingdom, and there is the headship of the kingdom, and then there are the citizens in the kingdom. Let's talk about even some of that.
Well, just first and foremost, the term kingdom implies that there's a king.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a set of rulership as citizens that we fall under, which, unlike a democracy, mm-hmm. you succumb to the rulership of the king. I think about when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he was asking him, who do you say that I am, you know, and that kind of thing. And after Peter's declaration of who Jesus was, he said, I will release to you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But a lot of times we use that binding and we use the binding and loosely loosing so loosely as in just a verbal proclamation of binding and loosing, but there's a righteousness, if you kind of look in the context, there's some righteous living associated with that. And through that living, we bind and loose our, we bind and loose the kingdom, you know, through actually being doers of the word. And even with that, you know, sometimes with the binding and loosening, we always think of, you know, the demonic or whatever. But really when you bind even your negative thought processes and things that you bind those and loose that which is positive. You know what I'm saying? That's a binding and a loosening also. And I found this that I thought was kind of interesting, and I think that as I dwelled into this word, this is a writer who wrote this on the internet. The kingdom, like all spiritual, is a mystery of faith, but God does not mean it to be mysterious. In fact, through our conversion to faith in Jesus, we have already been translated into his kingdom. If we still in the world, we would not have access to this kingdom, but as believers, we are inheritors of the kingdom of God, excuse me, and have every right to function in this kingdom. Our problem is that many of us are not even aware that this option exists for us, much less for us to enter in. So when I read this, I'm thinking that Jesus is that access. He's the key to the kingdom. And when he comes into you, you have just been translated into this spiritual realm or this kingdom of God. And so a lot of times we are not even aware of the power within that translation. We say stuff loosely, but there's a translation that takes place.
Yeah, I have here kind of sitting here in my notes is that Christ is the kingdom, and he exemplifies the rule of God by his direct obedience. He's governed by the Father, and as he dwells in us, the kingdom of God is formed or comes up in us. I think a lot of times in church, we're so busy speaking about, we preach so much about when we die and we'll go to heaven, and yeah, but I think we can lose sight of that God desires or God places greater emphasis on us, on getting heaven to us,
right,
versus us going to heaven. The greater emphasis is on heaven being manifested in us as Jesus dwells in us and becomes a part of us. See, your internal manifestation, your internal kingdom, or the external kingdom will be a manifestation of the internal kingdom. So as we become more Christ-like, then we'll have an external manifestation of God's kingdom.
And he said the kingdom is at hand. And, you know, what that says to me is that, you know, when we're in darkness, we don't realize that we are in a dual dimension. And, you know, we are earth, we live on earth, we walk and have matter manifested, we open the door and all that. But in this dimension is another dimension. We live in a dual dimension. And so if you're a child of God, you live in this dual dimension, the physical dimension and the spiritual dimension. And we kind of lose access to all the rights that we have when we don't realize our rights and benefits in the spiritual dimension, the kingdom of God. And it is at hand. You know, we're waiting to go to the by and by, you know, by and by, when, you know. But really the kingdom of heaven, as soon as you open up your mind to realize the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you can then start to receive some of the benefits.
True. That's real good. Like it says, is the kingdom of heaven is. And that's a present tense at hand. And I just kind of, you know, thinking back, you know, to like the Lord's prayers, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When I think of kingdom, I'm thinking about God's way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Which again goes back to those dual dimensions. He wants his kingdom to be on earth as well as heaven. So subjects of the king would make sure that his kingdom starts to manifest in the earth realm as it is above, so below, you know.
And that process comes about, again, as we accept Christ
and he dwells in us, and we start to make those changes
mm-hmm.
in our those we start to repent, for that kingdom is at hand. We change our thought processes, and we change our behaviors, and we start to embody God's way of doing things, and then we start to manifest thy kingdom come, starts to manifest in our personal lives.
That is so good. And, you know, repentance is to turn away from. So it's to turn away from that which, you know, I say this all the time, that which no longer serves you, to turn away the lies you've told yourself. You know, I'm poor, I'm always going to be poor, da-da-da-da-da. It's to turn away from that. And when you turn away from that, you start living in a spiritual realm, and you can accept the benefits of being a subject in the kingdom of God. And we have triple benefits because, and we talked about this earlier, not only are we subjects or citizens in the kingdom, we are sons and daughters of the king. So we're the sons and daughters of the ruler of the universe. Think about that. And then that's a spiritual inheritance. And then we are the inheritors of the kingdom.
And that basically, you know, says it all. We... I think, too, it's important to, like you said, understand that only are we citizens, because it's multidimensional,
mm-hmm.
but we are sons and daughters also of the king, you know, of God. Sons
that alone right there has its own benefit.
And I think which brings about, right, more benefits. One of the benefits, we kind of talked about the you know, the association with divine health, healing, but it's power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus taught with power and authority. He healed the sick and raised the dead, and so we have power
mm-hmm.
from on high, from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we understand how powerful we are. We were created to have dominion and power over the earth. So really coming into that knowledge, or really coming into that understanding where your knowledge reaches your actions, and you really come into an understanding of what it means to be a child of God, to be a citizen of the kingdom, and to understand that you have power over circumstances.
And I, you know, one of the, it's really, when you think about this and as we're talking about this, I think how sad it is that even Christians or people who profess to know God don't always walk in their power and authority because they think they have none. And Jesus said, these things I do, you do also, and greater things
greater
in me.
Things.
So when you talk about that greater thing, that we, you know, he was the example or the way shower for us that we can do. We have these keys to the kingdom to walk in this power and authority, but we don't always walk in it because our mind can't conceive that we have the same power that Jesus, he was the firstborn of many, the same power that he has, we have. We just don't manifest that power because we don't believe we have that kind of power.
Yes. And I think as that, you know, we have to come into, you know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So we have to take on the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ was always about his Father's business. And as we, you know, as we become, or as we be about our Father's business, we will begin to manifest heaven on earth. Because that's God. Like, God wants to expand heaven to earth. He wants to colonize.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to colonize earth.
He's taking over the earth realm.
Take over. And that's what, you know, that the kingdom of God is that expansion.
Yes.
It's God's expansion
into
earth through his people.
Yeah, because who is to take over the earth real? His sons and daughters. So we are to walk in that. authority and power and dominion, like you said, it's our birthright. It's who we are. You know, so many of us are trying to find out who we are. Well, you're a child of the Most High God, living in his kingdom, and you have dominion and power over the kingdom. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, what we try to do is ask you to ask questions. So why, you know, and I'm asking myself this, why don't I live and work and work in that authority sometimes? And that's what I'm really, and I think, Tanisha, that's what we led to this whole subject about kingdom is like, how do we tap into that kingdom living?
Well, I think the hard part is, you know, in tapping into kingdom living, that's so hard. Again, it is, like I said, going back to the idea that Christ exemplified the rule of God or the government of God in his direct obedience.
So
how to unlock or how you unlock the kingdom for yourself is through your obedience to God.
And when you think about obedience, when you're obedient to the word of God and when you're obedient to God, you live in a certain kind of way. You have that wisdom and discernment. And that is one of the ways to unlock the keys to the kingdom, because then you live a lifestyle that reaps the benefits of being obedient to God. You know, his will becomes following and flowing in his will. You're going to get more than your heart could even conceive or imagine when you do that. And then I thought about that. When you become a citizen of another country, say you've lived in another country, and when you become a citizen of another country, you have to go through a process,
mm-hmm.
of citizenship. So when you first become a believer, you are actually going through that process of citizenship. You are learning the rules and the regulations and the laws of that kingdom, the history of that kingdom, and then you can be able to start to function in that kingdom. So really just kingdom living is a process, and we all are on different roads and different ways and paths in that process of becoming the citizen.
So this scripture came to mind when you were reading this that I kind of read in my studying. Is Matthew 5:19-20. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think the reason why this, what you said reminds me of this is because it's interesting that the breakers and the keepers of God's command are both said to be in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But the breakers are called least in the kingdom. And those that keep the commands are called great in the kingdom. So, you know, our acceptance of God gets us in the door.
Right. Our following the law, just like in a kingdom, makes us great. And you know what? That goes beyond titles.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can be doctor, da-da-da-da-da, but if you're breaking the laws of the land, where will you end up? Eventually you're going to get caught and be in jail and live another kind of life versus if you follow the laws, then you become a good citizen of that kingdom with all your rights and, you know, privileges, freedom,
mm-hmm.
access, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is obedience is one of the keys to mm-hmm. the kingdom. And then there has to be faith and knowledge has to be a key to the kingdom, because if you don't realize that you're a citizen, you don't accept that, you know, that title, if you don't accept that right, just you're not accepting it. Your knowledge base of not knowing who you are can keep you from reaping all the benefits of being a kingdom kid.
True. I mean, that goes back again when I was speaking of, you know, faith. Our faith is directly related, because before Jesus unveiled the keys to Peter, he asked him, It was based on his declaration
of his name
and who God was.
That's good. That's real good. So, you know, I just, you know, one of the things I really, when you think about it, it really is part of the good news. This is the good news, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and that begins now as soon as you can open up your mindset to believe that is so. Why do you feel like, I mean, why do you think that we don't function in that authority?
I think some of it is what just what the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Some of it is just lack of knowledge. I think that we don't operate at our full potential. I think, again, there was a rank system.
Mm.
Some of it is obedience and faith, which principles we've talked about. And then, you know, you really have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to be. So you have to get, I mean, it's
you have to be born again and be in the spirit.
You're going to have
one.
They say some things are caught.
And some things are taught.
And some things are taught. But it's a spiritual, it is a spiritual transformation. You got to be born of spirit to really understand. I mean, I think, you know, again, because remember Jesus taught, so a lot of his teachings about the kingdom was in parables,
mm-hmm.
you know. And not that he doesn't, you know, it's not that he was, you know, trying to be confusing or didn't want us to understand, but because he breaks them down, he breaks down the parables, but it's caught in the spirit.
It's caught in the spirit. And in that day and time, Jesus was so profound in everything. People understood more by storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
A story, you know, brought the people in, made them listen more, and caught something. And I think he always wanted, and the Bible is this for me, it's like a pearl. You got to open up the shell to find the pearl inside. So he taught them in parables to first get their attention. Then they listened to the story. And then later on, and just like for us, later on, that thing will unwrap, and you'll find that's another pearl in there that I didn't get the first time. So it goes back to that processing. We're in a process to be citizens of the kingdom.
And, you know, I like to say in kingdom, you know, there's a government, and our governor, the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
Our governor, the Holy Spirit, helps us to he brings that revelation knowledge from heaven directly to us.
Right.
It's our go-between,
mm-hmm.
our direct communication with the heaven to bring about the kingdom on earth is the Holy Spirit. And that's how, you know, that's how we come into, you know, that transformation, by opening our heart to the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
I think that is so good, and I think that learning to live in the kingdom is like you said, you have to get into that word to really just, you know, just like a citizen, a new citizen that came from another country, when he's coming here, he has to study the laws of the land to know even how to access and go about. Then he has to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that other than, you know, knowing, hearing, receiving, and reading the Word of God?
And that's because, you know, all countries or kingdoms, you know, for instance, we have a constitution.
Right.
The Bible is the Word, our laws, our government. You know what I'm saying? So we as citizens are responsible for knowing our constitution.
Yes, we are.
For knowing the Word of God. For knowing that we operate under. And if we don't study to show ourselves approved, we won't know
the benefits of
kingdom living. Even if we just go, you know, a little further And, you know, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have forgiveness. God is calling us to forgive, just as he has forgiven us. Mm-hmm. However, you know, if we're not studying and understanding, we may be locking up some things because we are in unforgiveness. We're operating in unforgiveness in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the world's way of doing things. So, you know, an eye for an eye. You know, that's the world's way of doing things. But in our system of government, we operate in forgiveness.
And you lock up your benefit. You put yourself in a spiritual depression when you can't forgive. You know, you become stagnant, and you really, I always say, you become a bitter person that can't move on. Whoever that other person that you can't forgive, you can bet they're going on about their lives and doing whatever it is they need to do, and you become stagnant in your life. And it also brings me to the point that, you know, one of the our system and our way of doing things in the kingdom, in the spiritual realm, it's almost upside down from that in the physical realm.
Yes, and that it's so funny because, again, going back to, you know, I'm thinking of in Matthew where God is saying, you know, where Jesus is saying, you know, he's saying, why do you, one of the benefits, let me go back, one of the benefits is being in the kingdom is we don't have to worry about our provision. Oh, girl, you got to say that thing. Jesus said, why are you worried about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat? We don't have to worry.
Because we are children.
We are children, and
okay.
God wants to take, God is not a deadbeat dad.
Hallelujah.
He takes care of his children. He said, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the world, we got to worry about where our next meal is coming from. We have to worry about getting that money. That's at the end of the day. But that's the system of the world.
And
we
are
seeking first the kingdom.
Woo.
And it's righteousness.
That's right.
Again, righteousness, God's way of doing things. And all these things shall be added. It's a reverse system where in the world we're seeking money and we're wondering what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat, power, you know, and that's the way of the world. But we're supposed to be seeking God's way of doing things and in righteousness and that kind of thing. And we're going to just be automatically. I mean, though the others are automatic, it's a given. Now, like if I take care of the birds in the sky, then you know that I'm going to take care of you. So one of the benefits is provision. You don't have to worry about, as a citizen of the kingdom, you know, those things God shall provide.
And when you think about it, if you are the king's kid, now the king's kid live in the palace, do you think that, now the subject might go hungry because they don't have a relationship with the king. But the king's kid is going to be provided for before some of the subjects. Now, the king, if he's a good king, he will provide for all. You know what I'm saying? But certainly, his children are really going to be provided for. So that's that, you know, we got those threefold benefits of being a king's kid.
Yeah. And our inheritance is heaven and the kingdom, you know, manifesting heaven here on earth.
Right, right.
So,
you know, it's so powerful to think that not only being, you know, kingdom, citizens of the kingdom, because, you know, you stay a citizen when you can't open up your mind to receive that you are a son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like triple benefits. You can stay at a certain level and function at a certain level just citizen, which is nothing wrong with that. You're still going to get the benefits of the kingdom. You're still going to walk in the way. But there's another level if you can open up, up your mind to receive that you are a son or daughter of the king. What do you think about that?
I agree totally. I think
to me, I kind of see it, again, multidimensional in that I think the citizenship is tied to how we live our lives and what we should do and the obedience and the righteousness. You see, that's tied. The sonship is tied to our relationship.
Ooh, that's good. That is true. And that's true.
So, again, like you said, there's different, there's multi-levels to it, but it's multi-dimensional.
It's multi-dimensional, and it's all
being saved is multidimensional.
Being saved is multidimensional. And you know what? It's all about where your mindset is at that level of being. If, you know, and even putting on besides the son and the daughter, you then become an inheritor of whatever of the kingdom. You inherit the kingdom because you're the son or a daughter. You know, you work in a three-dimensional realm there. So if you even think about, you inherit the kingdom. Well, and for this realm, you inherit the earth realm when you are a son or a daughter of the king of the kingdom. Think about that.
What I was reading here in Matthew, it said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and brought that field. And it's a treasure. It's a treasure to understand who you really are in God.
And, you know, it is like a treasure in a treasure chest. You know, before you even receive the treasure, first you got to find where the treasure chest is. Then you got to open the treasure. Most times, most treasure chests are not just where you can ram them open. You got to have some kind of key or access to get in, and then you get to the treasures. But there's this whole process you have to go through to get access to the treasure.
Right. And going kind of like back to that, which is good, it is to be treasured above all treasures, where God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom. And then in this situation, the man, he was looking at parts of him, sell everything he had, but in saying that, he expects us to pursue it.
Yes.
That's what, you have to pursue it.
You have to pursue, you know what, you even have to pursue the knowledge of who you are to get your birthright. This is our birthright and our inheritance. And so if you're not pursuing that, if you're not pursuing that relationship with the king, then you lose out. And then, you know, there's that intimacy. You know, because you can just be a citizen functioning as a king, you know, going about your business. You got your benefits and everything. But when you are a son and daughter of a king, there requires, there is access to some intimacy with the king that the regular citizen may not have. What do you think about that?
I think that's correct.
Just think about, if you think about your relationship with your earthly children and the fact that you don't want to withhold anything good from them. God doesn't want to withhold any good thing from us. And that's the relationship that we have with him. He desires that intimate, personal relationship with us. Where we come to understand him as Father. I think I mentioned, I think a lot of times what makes it so hard for us to understand God as Father is many of us in our physical have had some problems in our earthly relationships with our father. Maybe your father wasn't there, or maybe he wasn't the father necessary that you needed or wanted him to be, and so it skewed your concept of father. And God, again, like I said, is not a deadbeat dad.
He wants to take care of his children. He doesn't want to withhold good things from his children. And so it's important for us to know him as Abba.
Abba, Father. Which is so good. It made, and when you were talking about that, it really brought back the story of the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted all his inheritance at once. He blew it, went off to another land. But the great thing about God is that he is always willing to take you back. And you still get whatever he has for you. You know what I'm saying? He's willing to take you back. And when I think about that prodigal son, and many of us have been prodigal sons and daughters, I'm one of them, gone away, and he has taken me right back with full rights, full benefits of everything that I need. When I came back with one, which you were talking about, with a repentant heart, you know, and as your father, you know, that is what the heart of a father is, that, you know, even when you mess up and you don't get this thing right, he still loves you. He sees beyond your fault and just sees you as for who you are, who he knows that you are. He sees your potential, and he sees your needs. He's Abba, Father, and also the King of the Kingdom. That's your daddy, girl.
So, yeah. I mean, just think about how rich, you know, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, how rich is that?
How rich is that?
And so, and he's our father. In that relationship, he's, you know, he's extended that inheritance.
And talking about that inheritance, you inherit the kingdom of God. You inherit the spiritual kingdom. You inherit two worlds. Now, how awesome is that? You inherit the physical realm. But if you're not aware of it, you don't walk in that inheritance, and you inherit the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm. So, I mean, that's powerful.
Again,
if you think about that,
that's going back to your internal kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and Christ dwelling in you and coming out, and it manifesting that external
right
kingdom.
That's
going back to that. And the external kingdom is the manifestation or product of the internal kingdom.
So really, in this realm, what that says to me is that you choose to live wherever your mind is. Because the external kingdom is where you could place your mind. I mean, the internal kingdom is that internal relationship with you, God, with your God, with you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's that internal relationship you have. That's your mindset. So wherever your mindset is, that's the kingdom. That's your space in the kingdom where you live. So where's your mindset?
Again, you know, how the Bible, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So, again, it starts there. It starts with an elevation of your mind, and then going forth and making those personal transformations in behaviors.
Well, we have, you know, gave you some tidbits to think about, to ponder on. Are you living a kingdom life? I have to ask myself that. Am I living a kingdom life? And if not, why? And how can I have access? And I think we've given you some things to ponder, to think about. If you got some more revelation, go ahead and message me. Tanisha, do you have any last thoughts?
I could hear the scripture in Jesus is saying that my kingdom is not of this world.
Mm.
So, again, that it's a heavenly kingdom. And so, and come into that spiritual awareness so that you can manifest God's kingdom here on earth in your personal life, in your relationships, in your being about your Father's business.
That is good. That is good. I am so thankful for you today. that you shared your thoughts and insights and what you've been studying on. And what made you, you know, kind of start studying on the whole kingdom thing?
I think the biggest thing that really, I mean, number one, again, is the main, you know, when you go back and reading through the New Testament, it's the main theme of the New Testament. And I just realized, you know, when God was, I mean, when Jesus was speaking to, like, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he was knocking down the rules of the time. You know, I think a lot of times as believers, we get kind of caught up in that spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to elevate. And it's not about being a member of this particular doctrine or church or that church. It's one church.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And so it's about, you know, it's not about all of that, because actually, you know, Jesus was combating that his whole ministry. And so it's really about understanding, again, your relationship with your father as Abba, and also about, you know, Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom, and understanding how you enter it, how you manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, for me, it was expanding my mind beyond religion and into relationship that kind of I wanted to come into. And I'm still, it was kind of hard to do this because I'm still evolving in my understanding of how to manifest God's kingdom on earth in my life.
Good. I like that. And it really helped me today to start to see, like I said, we're processing who we are in the kingdom. And that's part of finding your identity in God, is to know who you are in the kingdom. I'm going to end today with a prayer that I found. You know, I get this email from Ayana Van Zandt, and this was the prayer that I thought was an awesome prayer. And so I'm going to end today with that, and then we're going to go out again with Fred Hammond. I'm so glad you had a chance to visit with us, to, you know, mull over the kingdom thing and the kingdom principle, and are we living up to our potential as citizens and heirs and sons and daughters of the kingdom? Think on that, and let us know what you feel about it, and live that way. We all need that. I challenge us all to live that, to be all that God intended for us to be. And I'm going out with the holy instant. Blessed Father, Abba, I give you my mind today, asking that you quiet all false ideas, silence the demands of my ego, grant me freedom from the mistaken ideas about who I am and who I am not in your eyes. I declare today as a holy instant in which my mind is healed and brought into perfect alignment with the will of God. I give you my heart today, asking that you eliminate, eradicate, and disintegrate any and all energy created by toxic, unloving, unproductive emotions, memories, beliefs, and traumas that may in any way block, hinder, deny, or obstruct the presence of love. I declare today as the holy instant in which my heart is healed and brought into perfect alignment with the will of God. I give you my life today, asking that you guide me, lead me, instruct me, correct me, remind me of your presence within me, your plan for me, and your love of me. I declare today as the holy instant in which every aspect of my mind, my heart, my life is healed and brought into perfect alignment with the will of God, Abba, my Father. Today, I offer you a quiet mind that is ready to hear all you have to offer me. I offer you an open heart that is ready to receive the fullness of your presence. I offer you my light
and affairs for you to fill with your gifts of truth and peace and joy and love and wisdom. I declare today as the time I will now accept, allow, and believe that your holy purpose is unfolding with me, through me, and all around me, moment by moment. Today I focus my complete attention and every intention on you, Abba, my God. Today is the holy instant I will use to turn and attune within, allowing myself to hear your thoughts and allow them to heal me at the deepest level possible. For your presence with me, I am so grateful. Thank you for being with us today. Have a blessed week. We're going out with Bread of Life by Fred Hammond.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living word, Savior. Come on. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a constant God. Come on, you can sing it one time. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
That's what we call